the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. The graphics that you're going to see here, I must confess, I didn't draw. They're the product of what's called artificial intelligence. I simply typed in to my computer, to the Adobe Firefly, not that I'm advertising, show me a picture of a biblical lady reaching forth her hand with a look of apprehension and anxiety. And that's what it came up with. Not bad, eh? Not bad. I tell you, you don't need to do much in the way of drawing these days, although I do like to draw and to paint, and I know some other people do as well. We're looking at a very well-known story. The lady with the issue of blood being healed because she reached out to touch the hem of the Lord's garment, the hem of his robe. It's such a familiar story that so often you can overlook aspects of it. But I think it's relevant. It happens to be the lectionary reading for today. And it just seems so timely for us as a church, and particularly here for the steeple, as you become part of a bigger witness in Dundee Law. So with that in the background, I'd like to try and move on to what's happening, just to remind you of the story, in case maybe it was when you were wee at Sunday school you last heard it. So let me try and remind you. Jesus has just fed the multitude. Okay? He has preached that wonderful sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount, and he is very tired. He and his disciples retire, and early the next morning, the crowd are still there. They're desperate for more miracles. It's not every day you see 5,000 fed, is it? And they decide, or Jesus decides, to tell the disciples to get in a boat. And they get in the boat, and he says to them, let's go across to the other side, to the side where the Gadarenes are. And off he goes in this boat with the disciples. Other little boats are following, and a great storm comes. You know the story there. And everything looks desperate, and they cry out to him. He's asleep. Don't you care? We're going to drown. And he says, where's your faith? And he commands the winds and the waves to stop. And from that point on, they need to row the rest of the distance. Serves them right. Anyway, they get there, and they land on the other side. And as they get to the other side, there is the demon-possessed man. Nobody can control this fella. He breaks the chains and everything. But Jesus delivers him. And of course, the demons run into the pigs, etc. You know the story there. And everybody's terrified of what's going on, and they beg for Jesus to go away. Serves them right. He did. He got in the boat and went back over to the other side. And when he gets on the other side, we pick up the story of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and his little girl who's very poorly and is dying. And he begs Jesus. What's interesting is he's named. There's not many people get their names in the Bible, but he gets his name in the Bible. And he's desperate that Jesus will come and deliver his little girl from this terrible affliction that she's suffering from. There are many people gathered round, not just gathered round Jesus, but gathered round the disciples. And I can imagine them trying to be big and burly and trying to protect Jesus from the crush, because that's what seems to be suggested. This rabble are really out of control. It's a crush situation. There's an excitement. There's an amazement. In fact, if you read the portion of Scripture that we just heard from the ESV, it has the word and in it 18 times. Now, if you were to write that in English in an essay, your teacher would give you into trouble, especially starting every sentence almost with the word and. You know, you get the idea, like, I can't believe, and this happened, and that happened, and then that happened, and that happened. That's the kind of idea. There's a kind of a build-up going on. Two ands per verse. It's amazing. So there's an amazement going on in this story as well. Jesus is in the midst, quite literally. What's he going to do? Jairus is hoping he can get a move on through this crowd because my wee girl's ill. And at that point, we go on in our story, hopefully, to a sense of urgency. There is an urgency here in that Jairus knows time is limited for his wee girl, but there's another urgency going on, and that's the woman with the issue of blood. But there's a third one, and that's Jesus. He's only got a time to do what he's doing, and he knows he will be returning to his Father in heaven. So he's fed the people, he's taught the people, and there's still lessons to learn. And these lessons are going to be profound in their simplicity because they are really focusing on him and on God, his Father. There is a desperation going on in the world today. There's a desperation, I think, in the church as well. The church itself sometimes can feel as though it's suffering. The secularism, the syncretism, the confusion through the liberalism, you know, through the many movements that the church has faced over the years, it's almost like it's been whittled away until we have what's known as the faithful remnant. You know, there is that kind of sense of, Lord, we are desperate. You've got to do something for your church. You've got to do something for the church. But, you know, you can bring it down to the individual. And this lady, in a sense, represents the faithful. And she's desperate. She is desperate. She's been suffering from this problem. And we won't go into details with what it is or any kind of speculation, but it was a serious issue because it isolated her socially, psychologically, financially. She spent everything to try and get right, but the doctors couldn't do anything for her. And spiritually, she was classed as unclean. So she's in a very desperate situation. And as I said, the church today can somehow parallel that hemorrhage in that socially, well, let's be honest, you're a Christian. We'll sideline you and we'll often do our own thing. Psychologically, you're all off your trolley. Financially, we're skint. We're rationalizing. And spiritually, sometimes we can be so confused. You know, you could actually run there with that story, but we're not going to do that. I'm just lobbing that for your devotional thought. Can you reach out and touch the hem? Can you trust him for the church, and for his deliverance? Here's a thought. There's a vulnerability. Now, bear in mind, this lady's very weak. This lady is very frail. She's exhausted. And remember the environment. Remember the environment is lots of people crushing, pressing, and she has to get down. You ever tried going down in a crowd? Dead dangerous. Very dangerous. But she's prepared to take that risk. And she steps down or stoops down. Maybe she was halfway there already. And she touches the hem. Four times, Mark tells us that it was the touch in verse 27, 28, 30, and 31. Mark's making it very clear that there was a touch. It wasn't just some kind of word. It wasn't some kind of thought. It was literally a touch of the hem. And that's important to remember. Augustine says, flesh presses, but faith touches. We have to reach out to the Lord and touch by faith. That's what Augustine's suggesting in his sermon. This lady, well, she's like all of us. She didn't want to come up front. Bless that wee girl that came up front. You know, it's very hard when you come up front and you stand in front of people. It's much easier just to be anonymous, you know. Just get it done and go away again, you know. I'm a bit like that. You might not believe that, but I am. I like anonymity. I'd rather just get the job done and go away. I'm looking of going away after this, actually, but apparently I'm interim moderator for Dundee Law for, I think, 6 weeks or so, and then I'm going away. In fact, I'm going to retire on September 25, and I'm looking forward to it. I'll go home into my man shed, and I'll write Christian commentaries and books on the Bible. That's my theory. That's my theory. That's what I'm hoping to do. But, you know, there's a bit of comedy here. This lady's stooped down, touched the hem, and Jesus instantly knew power had gone out, authority had gone out, and she instantly knew, I'm healed. She knew straight away she was healed. And Jesus says, who touched me? And the apostles and the disciples said, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Look around you. They're all touching you. But there was only one touch of faith. There was only one touch of trust. And that was this lady. We don't know her name. What name would you put on her? You know, you could put your name on her. You could put your name on that individual and reach out for whatever the issues are in your life or the issues of the church. It's a trust. It's an action. There was fear, though. Well, I've just told you, she was ceremonially unclean. And to touch a rabbi, a teacher, or to be among those people without declaring what she was suffering from would have got her into big trouble. So she didn't particularly want to be found out. So she was afraid. And it says in Scripture, she was afraid. But you know, when the Lord speaks, fear rushes out. Perfect love, the Bible says, casts out fear. And her fear fled when the Lord spoke. Isn't that lovely? When the Lord speaks to your heart, fear flees. When the Lord speaks to your fellowship, fear flees. If God is for me, what can man do? Who can be against me? That's a very powerful word. He gave a divine instruction. Her faith was wobbly. If only I can touch the hem. She was hoping, and God met her at that point. She was delivered. She was taught by Jesus as well at that point. Go, your faith has healed you. She reached out, she touched, and through that touch, she got deliverance. Mustard seed faith. You've all heard about it. If I have as much faith as a mustard seed, I can say to this mountain, jump. Faith touches God's power. Your faith has healed, and the word is literally saved you. Her faith saved her. Do you know, it does require faith for salvation. It's not intellect, it's not rationality, it's not reasoning, it's not your good looks or your fashion or what church you go to or what hymns you sing or what version of the Bible you read. It's your faith and trust in the deliverance of Christ that saves us. Mustard seed faith, it starts small, but through the instruction of God, through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through the fellowship of His people, we grow. And we can grow in the direction God wants us to. Faith gives us a hope. But our faith must be focused on Christ. It must be focused on the Lord Jesus. It can't be focused on your session. No offense. It cannot be focused on your interim moderator. It cannot be focused on the Church of Scotland. It's got to be focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But if we focus on the Lord, and if we follow the Lord's leading, you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be an agent for praise, a trophy of grace. So, faith refuses to give in. It presses through. Do you remember the cutout bit of paper? It seemed impossible, didn't it? But it's not. Where there's hope, where there's faith, where there's trust, God will bless. And right now, as you're thinking about all the obstacles that may be in the way, for Dundee Law to be a successful church or for me to be a blessed and successful Christian, let me tell you, God will take you through them. It literally means to pierce through. I was sharing that with a session this week past. When Jesus says, let us go across to the other side, he was actually saying, let us pierce through. Let us pierce through. Let us go through to the other side. And in a sense, this is what's happening. For all the years you've been here, here's something. God has been preparing you for a bigger witness. Think about it. This lady, she thought she was just going to sneak in and sneak out. But no, she was going to be a bigger witness. And not just for the crowd of people that were there, but for the crowd of people that are here. For us and for everyone that hears that story, faith persists, and you too, I think, can persist in trusting God. But here's the thing, faith also proclaims. It has to be actionable, it has to be done. And that story of the, remember the men that lowered the man on the sick bed through the roof? It was an action. They could have shouted, hey, Jesus, heal him! They lowered him. They lowered him. It required some action on their part, just as her trust and her faith required action on this lady's part. And it requires action on your part as well. You are required as Christian people to press on, to pierce through the darkness, to pierce through the doubt, to reach down, albeit feeling vulnerable, and you will. Because if you don't feel vulnerable, you're not needing to exercise faith. You're exercising strength. God enables us, even with mustard seed faith, to reach through the crowd and to know the blessing. So he ends by saying, Shalom. Shalom. And here's what that means. It means wholeness, well-being, prosperity, security, friendship, salvation. Everything she didn't have before she could touch, but now she's got it all. And that's what it means for you too. As a church, worried about the future and concerned for all the rubbish and all the doubt and all the fear. But God will take you through if you're prepared to stoop and humble yourself. And he will exalt you just as he did that lady. And he will speak the words of peace into your heart. Can you trust him for that? That's not a rhetorical question, folks. Can you trust him for that? Can you trust him with your life? Can you trust him as you stoop? Because that's what the Lord is asking for all Christians to do, to humble ourselves so that in due time he will exalt us. Shalom. Let us pray. Father God, there are so many things pressing in on us, and we have so much going on in our life. At times we're desperate. And Lord, it's not going to be in our strength, but in yours that we will press through. Help us trust, not to be fearful. And to hear those words of peace that passes all understanding, we pray. Father, we pray this, even now as we reach out.